to be in church today. Let the Lord know how happy you are to be in God's house today. Have yourself a seat. I am just so excited that no matter what happens, we've had, you know, as you know, our Nicole mentioned, our worship team, some of them are traveling, some are trying to get some R&R, and let me tell you, they certainly deserve it and need it. Rest assured, they're taking those precautions that I do when I get out of town, and I'm sure that they're doing the same. I've talked to them, and we've got one that had to leave right away because they had a death in the family. Poor Keith Dyer, our bass player's brother, their brother passed away this past week unexpectedly, and he had to leave town. So, you know, and then our drummer is away on a assisting a friend, I believe, on a commissioning service for a missionary. He's just down in Columbus, I believe, so they're out of town. And I know many others are out of town just trying to get some R&R, and some are just feeling that they need to stay home because of the situation at hand, and they don't want to, you know, come in. They're just not feeling comfortable, and that's okay as well because we've got the live stream running, up and running, and doing well. And we had a little problem with that last week, but that wasn't our problem. That was just the community was just overburdened with so many people online that a lot of the situations and systems were burping a little bit. So if you watched this past week, our apologies, but I'm trusting that has been resolved. And so for all of you watching online, welcome. We so appreciate you coming to Calvary Life Church on the website, calvarylife.church, or on the Facebook page to watch us. And I just want to say something to my church family today. I am just overwhelmed with gratitude. I'm tied in with our network office down in Columbus with the Assemblies of God and the national office, and I hear all the statistics and everything going on in churches and whatnot, and some churches are down 65% in attendance, some are off as high as 70% in giving. But then Pastor Rad from Calvary Church in Canton, Ohio says, nah, not here. Not here. Yeah, you should say that. I give a testimony. It says Calvary Life Church on the website. They asked where we're at. I said, well, Canton Calvary is doing just fine. We have people that aren't feeling like they need to, they should come in, and we understand that. And the ones that come in, they put their mask on. They say, we're going to go into the house of God, and we're going to worship. And I appreciate that. I just want to tell you how that speaks to my family, my wife and I and our children, who's, you know, we have a couple of them serving here, our daughter's in the media, and our son is helping with security, and we just want to say thank you for your faithfulness. You are just awesome. If you're watching online, if you've never been here in the house of Calvary, you need to make a visit. You need to thank you. You need to come in and see what this is all about. Even during the times that we're told to, you know, careful on some of the ministries you're doing, careful on the kids' ministries and whatnot, you know, we're still doing okay. And I want to speak to you what's going to happen here on Wednesday night on the 23rd of September. We are going to resume our Wednesday nights. And the reason we pushed it back a couple weeks from the normal date that we resume is because I just kind of want to see how the schools handle coming back together. Some kids are doing it online. Some kids are coming back with a mask, and each school district's a little bit different, but the schools are open. And I just kind of wanted to get a couple weeks to see how the kids reacted to that before we said, okay, we are going to resume on the 23rd, but I just want to see how they did. So I hope you're okay with that. And our teachers and whatnot, and the girls and boys programs that we have here will resume. We just don't know exactly how that's going to look, but I think it's going to be exactly the way it's been in the past. They may have to come in and wear a mask. And I just feel so that we need to continue on with the ministry, the children. And so we'll figure out some of the logistics and whatnot. But, you know, our other building over there is big. You know, it's almost 9,000 square feet. Now, we can keep kids apart, right, and come together a lot better than the schools, and I think we'll do just fine. So rest assured, if your kids, grandkids are going to resume back here at Calvary on Wednesday night the 23rd, your church family will take care of them, just like we always have. We have always taken care of our kids. If you have not known that, we have great children leaders here at this church that love your kids. And I'm very proud to say that I'm a part of that. And I'm turning my office on Wednesday nights over to the girls program so they have an extra classroom so they can stay away from the boys. You know, no, that's all right. Just to give them an extra classroom. So we did some remodeling and redoing things. And I just want to thank Chuck Harlow for remodeling our church office. I don't know, it looks great, and we changed some things down in the pastor's office so the girls could get in there and, you know, socially distant and got some of the office stuff out of there, like desk and stuff, and put some regular furniture in there, and just it's going to be great. So I'm looking forward to that. But let me tell you what the adult Bible study is going to look like on Wednesday night. We did this praise and prayer evening during the COVID thing when we were out of the building. And that just, I don't know, we've talked about it many times. The impact that praise and prayer had on our church and the people that we prayed for has just been immeasurable. We have had many people healed through our prayer time. And it's been, yes, thank you. It's been amazing how God has used that, and he's just been so heavy on my heart that we need to continue doing something like that. So Wednesday night on the 23rd, we're going to continue with a modified version of our praise and prayer session right here on our platform, just like we were doing. We'll live stream it out just like we were doing. And it's going to take on a little bit different. We're going to praise, we're going to pray, have some prayer time, but we're going to have some preaching. Yeah, I know. Just preachers got to preach. I don't know. But praise, prayer, and preaching is going to happen on Wednesday night, Bible study. But instead of doing the small group type that we did here this past year, here in the back, we had quite the attendance here before COVID hit. We had 20-some-odd people back having fellowship and going through Bible study. We're going to do it up here. You're welcome, of course, to come into the building. We're encouraging you to do that on Wednesday night. You'll have your place to sit. We got plenty of chairs. You see that we're socially distanced, and we're doing just fine. So Wednesday night, we'll resume on the 23rd. We'll have that praise, prayer, and preach going on up here. I don't like the preach part, but I mean, I'm just talking about Bible study. We'll have some type of devotional or Bible study. It's going to last an hour and 15 total minutes because that's the time for the kids have, and we'll do that. But we're going to live stream it. So if you're feeling like you still don't want to come back, or you're online watching us right now and you want to participate, it will be very much the same format that we had before. Might be a tweak here or tweak there, but it will be pretty much the same. And I am looking forward to that. Lots going on, and I just want to announce that I wasn't going to announce this, but boy, God's really dealt with me on this. You know, your church here, and you should be excited about this and honored, because your church here, Calvary Church, has been selected by the Ohio Ministry Network of the Assemblies of God, which is a big group, 200 representing almost 290 churches throughout the state, has selected Calvary Church to host the 2020 sectional celebration meeting. Now, I'm going to explain what that means here in a second. That means every year our network throughout Ohio is broken up into sections, so each church is in certain sections, right? And then all those sections make up the Ohio Ministry Network of the Assemblies of God here in Ohio, and all those districts or networks throughout the nation make up the General Council of the Assemblies of God nationwide, and then all those countries throughout the world come together and make up the General Council of Assemblies of God worldwide. The largest Pentecostal movement in the world, you are sitting in one of the local fellowship churches today. So yeah, it's a big group, big reach. But come the 8th of October, this church is going to host the East Central Section celebration meeting. That means we're going to come together. Yes, Tim's going like this. That's a big deal for us. And during the COVID situation, they're still going to go move forward on that. We'll get more information out. But, you know, the leadership is invited. You're all invited to come. The church will be asked to probably, that was pretty interesting. The church will be asked to, if you're not in a leadership position in the meeting itself, it will be a normal service, but there will be a commissioning service for those candidates that are getting ordained this year. We will be doing that here. The Ohio Ministry Network, John Wooten, if you remember John, the superintendent of the Assemblies of God here in Ohio, will be here, as will all the leadership of the Assemblies for the state of Ohio. We'll be here at Calvary Church. They saw us online. They saw you online, and they said, wow, hey, let's talk to them. We might want to see if they can host. And I said, you betcha. You betcha. So we'll ask our church family if they attend to be in the other building, because our friend from the Maslin Music Shop, Bob Jones, who's sitting up in our sound booth today, who has become just, yes, Bob Jones is my friend, and he's great. He's going to help us get a situation set up in the other building to live stream the service here, because we are anticipating quite the crowd, and with social distancing going on, we have to make some changes in this room, and you're going to see some changes in your sanctuary in the weeks to come further to accommodate the ministry network coming into doing this meeting. So we might have to change some things behind us here to make some more visual screens and things like that. And Bob's the man. I lean on him heavily, and so he'll fix this up and it'll look great. But just you'll hear more about that. And I wasn't going to necessarily make that announcement, but I thought, you know, this is a huge honor for you. It is. It's a huge honor to be selected, and I just want you to know that your church just got selected. So if you can make it that night, great. If you cannot, that's fine. You can watch online because we will be streaming it throughout the state of Ohio through the Ohio Ministry Network's website. Okay, that's enough announcements for your pastor because my wife tells me I'm not allowed to do those anymore. But once you get the microphone on, I guess you can do what you want, right? So, hey, how many is just surviving this time we call COVID? You know, right? I just am so encouraged that we see such a good crowd in church today. I'm even more encouraged when I see the people that are watching online and we see the reach that we still have throughout the nation and the people that still contact me saying, hey, Pastor, I was watching you from Boston or Austin, Texas, or where have you, and, you know, what a great thing you have going on there. And let me tell you, I've got to give some accolades here this morning to my worship team. Without all those people, look how good they did, you know. My wife plays the bongos. I had no idea. And I told the girls, I said, okay, you're going to be front and center because, you know, with limited musicians in the back, you know, the ladies are going to have to sing loud and great, and they did. And, boy, I tell you what, I don't know about you, but God always has plan B, right? God always has something in the wings that if it doesn't go as planned, God always comes in and says, just trust me. And great is thy faithfulness. Just have some faith there and expect me to do something. And, you know, I'm expecting God to revive my life. I want a revived life. I'm the pastor, and I want a revived life. And God gave me this really unique next week version of that today that will be a little bit different than what I had last week. But wow, does the message speak life, a revived life. And, you know, and I was searching for some things to talk about today outside of the actual scriptural references, but let me do a quick review for you. Last week, I did this introduction of a revived life. And I talked about how do you do it. And I laid out all these points of things that I've got to do for me. I love preaching messages that really relate to me. That's the ones I do the best because I need to be revived. I just feel like, you know, during this time and coming out of this situation they call COVID, I just think, God, this is the time I want to be revived. This is the time I want you to do something new with me. This is the time I want to make some changes. He tells me the steps. You got to do a thorough job of repenting of anything that you know that's in your life that's holding you back from heaven. You need to get rid of it. Okay, I can do that. Great. You need to make some restitution of those people that maybe you've wronged over the years. You've got to make some restitution and pay them. Whether it's just, I am sorry, or whatever the situation may be, go back to that person or that situation and make it right. Okay, I can do that too, right? I can do that. He says, get sick of yourself. Expect something better for me to do for you than where you're at today. Because there's greater things coming. Greater things. Commit yourself to a sweeping life transformation. Okay, God, I can do that too. I can do that for you. Put yourself in the way of my blessing. Get out of your way and put yourself right in the middle of the blessing. Whatever you got to do, get in my way, he says to me. Get in my way and not your way. Okay, I can do that as well. Be serious about it. I call that be serious minded, right? Get serious about it. Do it. Make those life transformations, right? Narrow your interests. I have this thing that I kind of like, I spread myself thin. He says, you know, focus, focus, pastor, focus. So, okay, I can do that too. I get kind of spread thin. I get a lot of projects going on. I kind of feel like jack of all trades, but master of none. And, you know, he brings me back. He says, listen, I called you to pastor and preach it. That is your core. Don't sacrifice that because you get involved in other things that require time and attention. Those things require my time and attention. They require your time and attention. But God gave you a ministry. Whatever that ministry is, that's your ministry. Don't allow yourself to get distracted away from what God called you to do. We talked a few weeks ago about these new assignments. God's given you maybe a new assignment or re-upping you on your current assignment. Don't allow things to take you away from that, right? We talked about that. So then we said, have some faith. Have some faith that I'm going to do it. Expect me to do it. That's what he says, right? Okay. I said, I'll preach that. You know, begin to expect that. We talked about that atmosphere of that expectancy is leading us to revive life. God, do it to me. Do it for me. Do it all over once again. Just like the song, right? Just like the song. And then there's this expectancy thing, and I just want to go over that just a little bit because that song speaks so much to me. You know, God's done so much for you and I in the past. What makes us think he won't do some more things in the future? I go back and I look at my notes and my faith file, and I go back and I look at my life and I say, wow, that was a bad part of my life. That's a bad part. But look what God did. I shouldn't even be alive, let alone be preaching. You don't hit deers at 50 miles an hour on a motorcycle and live to tell about it. I do. And that was dumb enough to get back on the motorcycle. I got another wreck. Dumb enough to get on the motorcycle again. And I got another wreck. I've had 3 motorcycle accidents. And here I am. And my wife even gets on the bike with me. Go figure, right? But God is not done with me yet. And he's not done with you either, right? But what is that revived life look like? What is revival that I heard about growing up with my mom? I told you last week, all the time, this revival thing. It's renewal, restoration, a fresh inflow of God's power, mercy, grace into your life. That power just wells up inside of you. Let me give you a couple practical examples. You know, people faint. I've been doing some baseball games, as you know, I play baseball, and I've been doing some baseball games like I did yesterday. You know, old guys in their middle 50s probably shouldn't catch when it's 95 degrees and humid. I'm just saying, right? I mean, that's what I do. And they're dumb enough to put me there, and I'm dumb enough to do it. So, guys, if you're watching, because some of them are watching us now, you know, that's calvarylife.church, that's 00 after the ones, if you guys want to send some cash in. I'm just saying. We talk about that, they joke with me. But, you know, I probably shouldn't do that. But you get to fainting, but there's this situation that happens that when you start to faint or you faint, somebody comes and revives you. You just fainted, right? How many have fainted? Yeah, look at all those hands. Something happened that got you revived because here you are, right? Right. Something happened that revived you up practical. What happens when a flower or the grass doesn't get enough water? It kind of droops, right? My lawn looked horrible in the last few months because of this drought kind of thing. There wasn't raining enough, and my wife's poor flowers were just dead out front. Of course, well, they die anyways, regardless of the water, because she doesn't. Well, anyways, my wife, she's a flower killer, right? Nick, are you a flower killer? Yes, you are. She's a flower killer. So I don't buy flowers anymore. So if people gift us flowers, I feel so bad because we have the funeral, like literally when I'm putting them out in front. Lord, thank you for these flowers. But we know we only get 2 weeks, right? And there, did they die? They died, you know. So listen, people, we love you. If you want to give us something, flowers might not be the gift to give the pastor and his wife. So anyways, but they start to droop, and what happens? Well, if you give them some water, they come back. My yard's coming back because it's been raining, right? Now the flowers are gone. We had to throw those out. But sometimes, you know, the normal flowers, the grass, they come back, right? And that's kind of what the revive thing does to you. It just brings you back. But guess what? Christians and churches need the same thing. Churches and Christians get a little faint. They get a little droopy. They get a little slow. And we need the same thing happening to us. We need to be revived. We get in a rut. We need to be revived. And so week two of a Revive Life sermon series is today. And here's something I saw the other day that kind of spoke to my mind, spoke to my spirit. They'll display it on the backboard, but here's how it goes. It reads, while the world is living in survival mode, God wants to shift his church into revival mode. There's a wave coming, but it's not of COVID. It's by the mighty spirit of the living God. That's what's coming. That's what I wait for. I don't wait for the curve to be flattened. I hope it is. I don't wait for us to move out of survival mode. I'm not in survival mode, by the way, church. I wore my faith over fear shirt yesterday to my coffee group, and they saw, you know, that's how I feel. I'm not in survival mode. I'm in revival mode now. I believe there's a mighty outpouring of God coming, not only on the corporate church, but my personal life. Living the revived life. I want the revived life. I want to be better for God than I've been. That starts with me believing and expecting there's a revived life showing up. Pastor, you need a revived life? We all need a revived life. We all need God to come in and do it. Again, and that's what we're going to talk about today and how that works. It's going to be a lot of non-traditional little things. And let me explain. You know, you talk about God's pouring out his power. I think of Acts chapter 2 where he birthed the church. God sent power down in the outpouring of the Holy Ghost, stirred 120 people in this room, right, and sent them out to start the church of Jesus Christ that you sit in today. That's the scripture you want to hear, right? Nah, not today. God took me to Psalm 85. And I'm going to show you something, and we're going to dive deep today into a study of Psalm 85 and how that relates to your and my revived life. So we go to Psalm 85. It's on the screen behind me. This is a prayer. When you go looking in the scripture for stuff, you don't necessarily go looking at Psalm 85. And even when you read it, you think, I don't really understand that much, so I'll go to Psalm 86. You know, then you get to some of the bigger psalms that you know, like the 23rd Psalm and others that you just kind of remember. But here's Psalm 85. You may have read this before, I hope. But it goes like this. Let's read together. It goes, you, Lord, this is a prayer. God's people praying, Israel, is praying, saying, you, Lord, showed favor to your land. You restored the fortunes of Jacob. You forgave the iniquity of your people and covered all their sins. It's a prayer. You set aside all your wrath. You turned from fierce anger. You restored us again. God, our Savior, you put away all your displeasure that was towards us. So therefore, God had some. He pushed it aside, right? He had some. He says, we're done with the displeasure. Let's move forward to restoration. Will you be angry with us forever? You know, keep in mind, God's people didn't do the right things, right? We gave you stories, and we talked about how Moses had to lead them out of captivity. And when they got out of captivity, big story in the Bible. We love that story. And they just started whining a lot. God did all these big things, and they still weren't satisfied, right? Brings me back to that story because I've preached out here recently. Will you be angry with us forever? Will you prolong your anger through all these generations? In other words, we're going to get a break? Will you not revive us again? That tells you right there he's done it before. He's going to do it again. That your people may rejoice in you. Show us your unfailing love, Lord, and grant us your salvation. I will listen to what God the Lord says. He promised me peace to his people. His faithful servants, that's you and me today, he's promised that peace to us, but let them not turn to folly, to sin, right? Surely his salvation is near to those who fear him, that his glory may dwell in the land. Verse 10, and here we go. Love and faithfulness will meet together. righteousness and peace will kiss each other. Faithfulness springs forth from the earth, and righteousness looks down from heaven. The reunion is starting. The Lord will indeed give you what is good. Our land will be restored, yield harvest. Righteousness goes before him and prepares a way for his steps. Church, you're living that right today. And you're going to see that here very shortly. And let me give you some general observations of that scripture. There's not a lot of background of who necessarily penned it, but we know it's a prayer. We know a lot of the Psalms are penned by certain people, right? But this particular one, there's some ambiguity there a little bit. But we know that God's people are praying to be restored and revived. Lord, do it again. You did it before. Give us some more. A prayer for the revival or renewal of God's mercies to his people at a time when once more there was suffering and distress. That's exactly what's going on today. We've got suffering, we got distress, we got COVID, and people are living in survival mode, and that's exactly what was going on back there. And they're going to God, and they say, God, just revive us, restore us, just like today. Boy, is this pertinent for us today. It is so pertinent for us today. The psalmist's purpose is to remind us that God, who has delivered his people in the past, will do the same thing again. That God is not done. He's not done. If you're sitting here today just downtrodden and feeling horrible for whatever reason, coming back from a major change in your life or just struggling with things, God is just getting started. He is. And that's what they're talking about. God's going to get started on something new. Life's troubles don't always indicate God's disapproval of us. Just because we're going through trouble doesn't mean God's upset with us. But church, our reaction should always be self-examination. The reason why your pastor started last week with these points, let me read them again. It's always about self-examination. Lots of repenting. Restitution, be sick of yourself, commit to a sweeping change of your life, put yourself in the way of a blessing, be serious-minded, narrow your interest, and have some faith. God always asks me back to that self-examination portion before my life is revived. And that's what's going on in the prayer. Let's dive in a little deeper to Psalm 85, a little deeper here, and watch what happens. A little deeper in 85, Psalm 85, 1 through 7. I'm going to do some narrative here, just some observation, and watch what happens. The prayer for renewal of God's favor and a revival of God's people is what we're talking about. The power of God to show up again and do what they'd done in the past. The repentance of what they didn't understand or they didn't believe or want to see. Things that God had done for them. You know, God's going to do it the way God thinks it needs to be done, not necessarily the way that I think it should be done. Right? God's going to do it again the way he thinks it should be done, not necessarily the way I think it should be done. And there lies this big valley sometimes in my life where God's over here and I'm over here and I want it like this. And God says, no, it's right here. And this is where I want you to go. And there's the struggle back and forth. Right? There's the tug of war. And I'm going to tell you something. When the tug of war starts, I lose. I don't realize that I'm losing sometimes, but I end up losing because God has something much better over here. And I stayed over here saying, no, this is what I want over here. This is how I want to be renewed. This is how I want to be restored. This is how I want to be revived. And God's got me great over here. I'm so stubborn. Good thing. You don't say amen there. You know, there's other time. This prayer by Israel is appealing to the Lord's past mercies, recalling how God forgave them, verse 2, and then restored them. So that's why I started with the repentance is forgiveness. The prayer acknowledges present troubles in God's displeasure. Yeah, we got some trouble here. Today it's called COVID and other things. And God's not pleased with maybe how some of us have reacted to that. I don't know, maybe. He's asking for a realignment. Okay, I can do that. Doesn't mean he's not going to continue to pour out his blessing and power, but it just means that he wants me to think differently, right? The people prayed for God's mercy in verse 7, and they prayed for salvation. Why? They recognize that they needed God's mercy, but they also recognize they need to have salvation first, pleading to God to forgive them for what they did before they got the mercy. Wow. A promise, a requirement, and they prayed for that. God, let me realize I need to have salvation and repentance in my life before the mercy and the power falls. That's what that means. Self-examination. It comes back to me saying, I've got to make a change on the way I'm doing it so God could come in and make a change in me. That's what I want. Okay, God, I'm in. Then we move to 85, 8 through 13, and these verses start to get a little deeper. God's reassuring answer to Israel's prayer is recorded in the next several verses. His answer shows up. Watch. Powerful. The Lord speaks about peace in verse 8 by promising that he will again bless his people with peace. Church, listen to your pastor. Once again, God's going to restore peace to you, even though we may be in a little survival mode right now. Trust me. Do what God's calling us to do to revive our lives, and peace will flood your soul. Peace will change your life. Yes, thank you, Lord. Peace. I pray for peace in my home every single day. We pray around the dinner table, Lord God, give me peace in my home. Peace is what I want. Mercy is what I want. Give me peace too, right? Warn not to turn against folly, sinful acts. Because what happens? When God starts to revive a life, these other things start to rear their ugly head and try to pull you in a different direction. There's another tug of war. Lord, keep me away from that. I don't want to provoke God's wrath again. Wow, that's what it says. God reveals his glory in verse 9 by displaying his saving power on Israel's behalf. Let my glory be there. Church, let the glory of God be in Calvary Church today. Give me the glory of God over all things. Lord God, bring your power, bring your glory. That's what I want to live under. Wow, give me the blanket covering of your peace and your glory, and I'm good. I'm good. I don't know about you, but I'm good. There's requirements there, right? God reveals his love and truth, his righteousness and peace in verse 10. Now, church, watch what happens. In this Psalm 85 that I don't think a whole lot of us go back and dive into, but watch what happens when God is saying, I'm going to revive your life. And here's the thing that's going to happen. There's going to be a reunion happen. And this is what it's talking about. There's going to be a reunion happen here. It's going to be in love. It's going to be with truth. It's going to be righteousness and peace. Verse 10. The revived life starts with a reunion. And that reunion is this. God's love shows up when we're faithful. His love is always there, but we're not living under it. We're doing our own thing. He's calling us to be faithful. His outpouring of love, now we see it better because we're being faithful. There's a reunion. Then there's righteousness and God's peace upon us. I got to be righteous. I got to make restitution. I talked about that. I got to do the right thing. I'm just convinced I have to always do the right thing. I don't always do the right thing, but I have to do the right thing. I have this inherent thing inside of me that says I have to do the right thing, but I don't always do it. I fall short. Paul writes to Timothy, you fall short, right? That's where that repentance thing comes. But there's this reunion. The greatest part of Psalm 85 is the reunion part of the restoration, the renewal, the revived life. Shows up when this happens, when God's love outpours into my faithfulness and his righteousness shows up with my righteousness. God makes a connection. And what happens then? Peace. That's the reunion. The prayer concludes here in verse 13 by this phrase, righteousness goes before him and prepares a way for the steps. What steps? What are we talking about, steps? I've got the steps. your revived life. And in the next several weeks, we're going to talk about those steps. And you're going to come out in the next few weeks with a revived life. Why? Because the steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. So says the Word of God. And I'm going to follow God's steps in Psalm 85. I want a changed, revived life. I want to come out of survival mode. If you're in it, I'm not, but I'm just not going to live there anymore. I just want to come out of anything like that, and I want to be ready for the next season, revived and ready to go. I want to come out energized and let's go. That's what I want. I want God to make the change in me, right? That reunion, that coming together of heaven and me are the steps that I got to talk about. Steps to the reunion of heaven to earth. What does that look like for God's people? What does that look like for people that aren't serving the church or serving God today? Steps to revive life in the next few weeks start today. And here's the first one. We must confess our need to be revived. We must confess our need to be revived. The psalmist's prayer was a confession of need. Father, restore me, it says. Renew me, revive me, the people of Israel would pray. Help me. Change me. I have to accept the fact that I might need some changes. It was only when they felt the need to pray that they needed to change. Verse 6, it says like this, will you not revive us again that your people may rejoice in you? They want to rejoice again. What's it take? God, revive us again. Will you not do it for us another time? One more time. When does God get tired of it? Does God finally say, I've had enough. I don't need any more of that. How many times did I revive them, you know? Now they live in survival mode, and I'm their supply. I feed the birds. I do all these things. I can take care of my people. How many times did I revive them? One more time, God. Give me one more time. Right? Give me an outpouring of power. When we confess the need to be revived, God shows up. Right? And here's three categories, kind of three areas. And listen to this. The need for revived lives throughout the world. Multitudes are without God. Multitudes, millions of people throughout the world are living void of the Creator of the heavens and the earth. What does that mean? They're living with no hope. Church, if you need a revived life to go give those people living hope, living water, then you need to say, God, I need to be revived. If you're already doing that and you say, God, I'm good, then God says, well, hold on here a second. I want to revive you because I need you to go to the next level. I need something more from you, Pastor. I need a little bit more. And if I need to pour into you more power, more peace, more righteousness, more whatever, to get you to go up to the next level, let's go. But I got to say, I need that. Church, I need that. We need that. We need it. You know the funny part is? When you say you need it, and you get there, then you say, I can't believe I lived without it. But you don't know until you get there, until you say, I need to be there. Church, I need to be there. You need to be there? I need to confess. I need a revived life. Lord, look at what Ephesians 2:12 says. It goes like this. Remember that day, Paul writing to the church at Ephesus, remember that at that time to the people, non-Jews, Gentiles he's writing to, remember, right? The Jews were kind of like the preferred. The Gentiles were like the outcast kind of people. But he's saying, hey, listen, remember that at the time you were separate from Christ, they're coming to Christ now because he started churches, excluded from citizenship in Israel and the foreigners for the covenants of the promise of the Father, without hope and without Jesus, without hope and without God in the world. He's looking at us saying, do you remember what you were like before, is what he's saying to the Gentiles, non-Jews. Do you remember what you were like, church, before God invaded your life and revived you the first time? Do you remember what you looked like? I do. Not so good. I didn't look so good. I looked really bad. I was pretty bad. I wasn't like really super bad, but I wasn't really great either. But then God shows up. I remember this. And that's what he's saying. Do you remember what he did there? Now you're over here and you're revived and you're changing and you're getting rid of some of the stuff. And he's writing a letter. He's writing from, many think, 60 years after Christ left the face of the planet. Paul's imprisoned in Rome. He's writing this letters to the Colossian church, to Ephesians and the Ephesus church. And he's saying, hey, do you remember what you look like back here? Because sometimes we get so far into God, we kind of forget where we came from. That's a revival right there. I remember where I came from. Not so good. I remember. Do you remember? I didn't look so good. That's what he's saying. You didn't look so good. We didn't look so hot. You kind of think you're hot stuff right now, and you got the truth now in your back pocket, and you're living like, okay, really. That's not the end. That's the beginning. That's what he says. It's not the end. It's the beginning. You're just getting started. God has more work to do in you. There's a need for revived lives in the church. Not only is there a need to revive the lives of the people outside of the fold of God, which we talked about, there's a need to revive us that are sitting in the church today, right? There's a need. Do you recognize that need? I do. We just need it. I just want it. Some are worldly, lacking spiritual power and vitality. Only revived lives can alter that state of minimal power. Getting kind of like confused, in survival mode, and I don't trust it anymore. I don't know what's going on. The revived life in the church, God showing up, instilling power. If God showed up right here and the wind started to blow and the place started to move and the chairs were pushed back and God's glory showed up and the power came down and we were like, wow, what's going on here? If it was the upper room in the 120 and God says, here's who I am, then you would believe. More than you did 3 minutes before. That's the transformation God wants, right? But he wants us to start in our personal life and say this: I got a need for my personal revival before the church and before the world. It's got to be me. I got to lead the way. It's got to be transformation in my life. I got to be different, right? The need to accept the fact that there needs to be a need of revived life in me because I might be powerless. I frequently fail. And my testimony is not near as effective as it used to be. I need a revived life in my personal life. Here's a thought for you. There will never be any life revival until you're willing to admit the desperate need for it. Church, publicly before you today and people online, I need to be revived. Somebody give me an amen. I need somebody to say, I need it too, Pastor. Because once you get there, you're going to say, I can't believe I wasn't praying for this before. I want to be there. Here's the second step to your revived life for today. We must admit the possibility of getting a revived life. I got to have a need, but there's got to be the possibility. I gotta believe there's the possibility that God can come into my life and revive me again. Here's a question for you. Are you convinced that a life revival is possible? Pastor, I've heard this revival thing all my life, and I don't think it's possible. We're done. It's over. There's got to be the possibility in your heart and your spirit that says, God, I know. The psalmist here was convinced that the revived life would show up. Watch what happens. 6 times in verses 1-3, he reminds himself and the people what God has already done. Listen, you, Lord, showed favor to your land. You restored fortunes of Jacob. You forgave iniquity of your people and covered their all their sins. Look what you've already done in the past. You set aside all your wrath, turned it away. Then you turned from your fierce anger and showed up. The psalmist is convinced that God will do it again. Are we? Are we convinced we'll come out of survival mode? Are we convinced that God will pour out his power in the last days on all flesh? Are we convinced that God will do it again? Are we convinced that God will save us? Are we convinced that God will eradicate the world of COVID? Are we convinced? Are we convinced? Do we believe in the possibility? Somebody, do we believe? Do we have hope that somebody here can say, yeah, it's me, Pastor, I believe. I believe there's a possibility that he's going to change me and make me better. God is sending revival in the past proves that there's a possibility he will do it again. There is a possibility. And I ask God to start with me. And I have been praying he starts with you in Calvary Church. Let it be here. Why not here? Why not here? Why not? God is sending that revival. History and the promises of God prove the possibility that it will happen again. 2 Chronicles 7:14, wow, we love this scripture. It goes like this, if my people who are called by my name will do what? They will humble themselves and pray, seek my face, right? And turn from folly, their wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sins, and I will heal their land. That means I will restore and revive them. Is what it means. Solomon, building the temple, finishes the temple, says, God, what do you want? God shows up and says, here's what I want. It's the greatest scripture in that portion of the Bible. He says, here, you've been faithful. Here's what I want you to do. That's exactly what he wants us to do. That's the transformation. Verse 14, the golden text of the entire book tells us what to do for a revived life. Jeremiah 33:3 goes like this. He says, call to me and I will answer you. God says, call to me, I'll suddenly answer. Call to me, I'll show up. And I'll tell you great and unsearchable things you just don't know. What's the requirement? What do I got to do? Call. God, what is it? What do I got to do? God, just tell me. Here's the unsearchable truth. Revive your life, here's what I want you to do. All you have to do is what Jeremiah did, call. And God comes in and gives you the things that you didn't even think of. How do I know that? As I wind things up, let me tell you the test that God gave us in the Word. I'm not talking about money today or tithing, but God shows up in Malachi 3:10. And he gives a scripture. It's a test. Do you believe everything you read in the Word? I'm going to test you then with the most personal thing in your life, and that's your money. I'm not preaching on money today, but watch what happens. God says, just bring your tithe into the storehouse. There may be food in your house. God says, test me on this. You know, the Bible is not full of things that say, test me on this. But God gets to the most personal thing of money and says, you want a revival in your life, you've got to start believing. And then he throws the money thing at us later in Malachi. He says, test me. So guess what I did? Years ago, I'll test you. It's only time. You know, he doesn't give a lot of tests. In fact, the Bible says, don't put the Lord thy God to silly tests. But this isn't a silly test. This is God saying, go ahead and do it. So God gives me his blessing to test the creator of the heavens and the earth. He says, if you would just bring your tithe into the local storehouse and be faithful, I'll revive your finances. And he gives us the example of a revived life in our finances. It's amazing. I'm not asking for money. You know, I am not asking. It's not about money. But it is a test that God has said here. Give me a shot. So I did it. Poor, no money, young, broken, I didn't have two nickels to rub together. I said, okay, God, I'll do it. And I ain't stopping. I'm not poor. God supplies all my needs. According to his riches and glory, he revived my finances. Years ago, they were pretty bad. Really, really bad. I lost a number of businesses. Things were bad. God says, just test me. So today, church, I'm going to challenge you to do exactly what it says in Psalm 85. Just believe that you have a need to be revived and that there's a possibility that he'll do it for you. So he tests us on this money thing, but I'm telling you today, I'm just using that as an example. I'm trying to get to you to understand that there's a need and there's a possibility. And he shows that in money. He uses the most personal thing in money. If you're not tithing, I challenge you to do it. Because the power of God shows up in the test. Don't believe me. Believe God. Don't believe the pastor. Go to heaven. But when it comes to reviving my life, I saw that as a test years ago. I needed a revival in my, and I'm flipping through the Bible. Back then, I'm using the old style, not the old style, but the, you know, I use my iPad today. I flip open the old Bible, and I did one of these numbers. Ever do that? You flip open the Bible, and you just go there. Ever, come on. God, speak to me. Guess what was there? For me, Malachi 3:10. God, what are you doing to me? I got $67.43 in my checking account, and I got $2,819 of bills due this week. What do you want me to do? Write a check for $67 a week. Revive me, Lord. That's the test out of it. Thank you, Lord, for doing that for me. Thank you, Lord God. Church, bow your hearts. Ask you a couple questions. Just a couple questions and we'll dismiss. With all eyes closed and nobody looking around, do you think there's a need for a personal revival in your life? If there is, you shoot your hand up for me right now. If that is you, I see all those hands. They're everywhere. If that's you watching from at home, raise your hand in your living room or wherever you're at. It's okay. If you believe there is a need in your personal life for a revival to happen, raise your hand and be called upon by heaven. Let God see that you're not afraid to raise a hand in his house or your living room or some coffee shop you're watching right now. I don't care. You raise your hand and you say, God, that is me. I am in need of revived life. Once you put your hands up, you can put your hands down. Here's the second question for you. The second question. The bigger question. Will you admit there's a possibility that once you raise that hand, that God is going to give you the outpouring that you need personally to revive your life? Do you think there's a possibility somebody raised their hand and say, yeah, that's me, Pastor. Look at those hands. The whole church says, yeah, Pastor, that's me. That's me too. I got my hand up. I got both hands up. It is me, I believe. Why? Because I lived it before church. I did it. I called upon God. God, revive me. Do it. Malachi 3:10. This is the test I'm going to give you. I'll do it. I wrote the check, and here we are. Preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ at Calvary Church in Canton, Ohio, in the middle of survival mode of COVID. I'm living faith over fear. I'm not in survival mode. Why? I passed the test. Somebody give a praise and glory today. There's a possibility. There is a possibility. Why? I believe and I expect there's a possibility God's going to make a transformation in my life. And here we are. On the cusp, on the verge of the greatest outpouring of Calvary Church has ever seen starts with you and I. I want a personal revival in my life. Okay, the last question, and I'm going to dismiss you. You recognize the need. I said, is there a possibility? You raised hand. Here's the last one. Bigger than the last one, which was bigger than the first one. But here we go. Church, do you expect it to happen? If you expect it to happen, shoot your hand up for me. I expect it to happen. In Jesus' name, I expect it. If that is you, stand to your feet and get ready, because God has a plan for each and every one of us as we dismiss today and move out of here and say, God, I need it. I have a possibility it's going to happen. But more importantly, I expect it to be so. Somebody give them shouts of glory and let God know that you are on board. And here comes Calvary Church. We love you. Have a great week. And don't forget to come back next Sunday as we move through the steps of personal revival. Give them a shout today. We love you.